We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Brent Aiken. And on tonight's episode, I will be reviewing the first half of the second season of Invincible. And as always, I would like to point out that I will be going into slight spoilers, some spoilers regarding stuff that happens in this first half of this season, as well as spoilers of things that happened in season one. So if you haven't seen the show, especially season two, but also season one, then, you know, and you care about spoilers, stop the episode and go watch the show, and then come back and listen to my review. But if you're going to watch it anyway, despite hearing spoilers, then by all means, please continue. And if you've seen the show and you're, you know, eager to hear my thoughts and want to hear my review, then you can continue too. So I reviewed this show back when season one premiered, because the show premiered originally it's an Amazon Prime original show, or Amazon Prime Video original, and it premiered back on March 25th of 2021. And it was created by Robert Kirkman, the same guy, who co-created the comic book that the show is based on. So the show is based on the comic book of the same name by the same guy who created the comic book. And he co-created it with Corey Walker and Ryan Ottley. And, I had heard people talking about this show when it premiered. And, you know, people saying, oh, yeah, you're not ready for that. You know, the first episode might seem a little bit slow, or it might seem boring or predictable or whatever, or it might just seem like an average animated superhero show. But when you get to the end of that first episode, that's where things really take off. And how Amazon, or at least with the shows that I watch of theirs, which so far have been Invincible, The Boys, and Gen V, all their superhero content. But typically what they usually do is release the first three episodes of a new season of their show, you know, on the premiere date at the same time. And then the rest of the episodes, which are typically five, you know, they're like eight episode seasons. So the remaining five episodes of the season are released weekly, which is what they did with Invincible. And when I started the show, I guess it was like... about a week later, it was around Easter. I don't know, but it was sometime shortly after the first three episodes had dropped. So I think it was like the a day or two before, or maybe it was a little bit after the fourth episode dropped. But anyway, it wasn't too long before I started the show, and I got to the first episode, and I was like, "Oh, this is great!" And then that final few moments of the episode happened, like at the post credit scene where spoilers if you haven't seen the first season, the scene where Nolan Omni-Man murders his team, the Guardians of the Globe. And I saw that scene, and I was watching it on my laptop. I was just sitting there, the credits, you know, it cut to black, the credits were rolling. I was like, what the hell just happened? You know, like my jaw dropped. I was just staring like a dumbass at the screen, like in awe of what I just saw. I was like, what the hell just happened? You know? And I was like, oh shit, I got to watch the next episode. So like that, you know, I was enjoying the show in that first episode up until that point. But when it got to that moment, I was like, oh yeah, I'm hooked now. Cause it's like, why the hell did he just do that? You know? Cause up until that point, Omni-Man seemed like a nice guy. I mean, he seemed like he had a little bit of a grudge with the Immortal. But other than that, I mean, he didn't seem like the type that would just murder his coworkers, his team, after, you know, God knows how many years they had worked together, you know? But the first season was great. You know, I loved it and watched it. You know, I was as pissed as everyone else was when Nolan beat the shit out of Mark at the end of the first season. I was like, man, fuck you, Nolan. Like, I was that pissed. I was, like, cursing off of, which doesn't happen that often, but I get invested in shows and like the villains, and you know, I love to hate the villains, but sometimes a villain is so hateable, or you love to hate them so much, that sometimes it just gets that much of a reaction out of me where I'm like cursing them out, like out loud. And Nolan, Omni-Man was one of those. But yeah, when the first season ended I want to say it was like April 29th. So yeah, a month later. So the first season was 8 episodes, ran for a month. And I, you know, it was like a couple months later, back in July of 2021, so a couple months after the season ended, I, you know, decided to pick up the comic book series and read that. And it was great. Had a great beginning, middle, and ending. And it was in like these three, and the comic book, the series ran for a long time. Like it ran for like 15 years, like 2003 to 2018 or 2017. So yeah, it ran for like 14, 15 years, and it's huge. Like there's a lot that it's packed with a lot of just crazy superhero action, adventure, death, destruction, you know, the plot, a lot happens in that entire series, and it was great. And it was split up into these three compendiums. Like the first third of all the issues were in the first compendium, the second third, the middle, was in the second compendium, and then the third compendium had the final third of the issues. And it took, you know, I kind of took a little bit of a break from it, but it took me about a year to read the entirety of it, which it would have taken me less time had I not taken that break. But yeah, that is what, you know, it took me that long. And I loved it. And like I said, I thought it had a great ending, and it made me all the more excited to see season two, because I'm like, I know what happens, but I'm eager to see how they switch it up for the show. Because when I first read the comic book series, after having watched season one and, you know, seeing what they did in the show versus, you know, and then when I read the comic scene, how it played out in the comic, it was like, oh, it's a little different than what they did in the show. And I thought that was cool, because new viewers who had never read the comic book series, which was me when I first started the season one, had no idea what was going to happen. And people who like were avid fans of the comic knew exactly what was going to happen, or, you know, knew pretty much what they were going to do, what was going to happen in the show. So, you know, they switched up the, you know, they glossed over some things. They kind of skipped some things that happened in the comic. They like moved up the timeline on some plot points that happen in the comic and the show, and you know, kind of like played with the audience's expectations, which I thought was pretty cool. And that's no different this season. They do the same thing, and I like that, because it keeps new viewers who haven't read the comic, like they're you know, keeps them on their toes, because they haven't read the comic, you know. But the people who have read the comic, it keeps them on their toes too, because they don't know, they kind of know what to expect, but they don't know when to expect it. And to some extent, they don't exactly know everything of what to expect either, because like I said, they switch the order of events. They kind of switch up, and like they kind of gloss over some things or change some things up. But, you know, they still keep true, or they've been keeping true to the comic book, which I kind of like. And yeah, so I was interested in, very intrigued to see how things would play out in season two after having read the entirety of the comic. And, so far, you know, even though this season isn't done yet, I figured I'd do a review of this season, so far, because apparently they split the season into two parts. So the first half of the season, aired from November 3rd, the first episode of the season of season two premiered November 3rd, so the first Friday of the month, and then the mid-season finale premiered yesterday on the 24th. So, you know, it's a lot happened this first half of the season. And oh, and also, by the way, I also watched before I watched the season two premiere, I did watch the special that they did on Adam Eve, or Eve Wilkins, that premiered in July. July 21st was when that premiered. That was great too. I loved, because that we also delve into Eve's backstory in the comics, and I kind of forgot, because it's been a while, I forgot exactly what happened. So it was kind of like seeing it for the first time again, because I'm like, oh yeah. And then when it happened, I'm like, oh yeah, I vaguely remember this happening, or I definitely remember this happening, you know. So it was kind of a nice refresher, a nice reminder as to what happened in regarding Eve and her backstory. But yeah, so season two. Yeah, season one was great. Season two is continuing to be just as great as season one. The voice acting from everyone's fantastic. Mark, Invincible, the main character. Steven Yeun is still doing a stellar job at voicing him. And if you don't know Steven Yeun, he basically played Glenn in The Walking Dead for like 6 years. Main character in that. Loved Glenn. He was great. Sucked seeing Negan killing him. It sucked to see Negan kill him, but, you know, that was a spoilers for that show if you haven't seen The Walking Dead. But, yeah, he was great in that. He had a good death. I mean, it sucked that he died, but he had a good, gory, gruesome death. And he was fantastic all the way until his last episode. But he was also, he's also been in Nope. He played Jupe. The character of Jupe in Jordan Peele's Nope, which came out last summer. He was great in that. I just recently saw that like a couple months ago. I saw it for the first time and it was pretty good. And he did, something happened. He dies halfway through. I'll just say that. But, for the screen time he has, he's great. And he was, what else has he been in? Oh, he was in, the Netflix show, Beef with, Ali Wong. And he was fantastic in that. Like, he played a completely different character than what he has typically played. Like, just this angry, very kind of this very angry, aggressive kind of asshole. But there's more depth to him in the show. But like, just seeing him, just seeing what happens, what his character goes through in that show is like, this guy's an asshole, but you kind of see where he's coming from. You kind of get why he became the way he did and turned into the person he is. He's great in that. If you haven't seen it, I did a review of that last season. Yeah, season six of the podcast. And if you haven't seen it, the whole first season's on Netflix. It's fantastic. But I think it was Ali. Wasn't it Ali Wong that was in that? Yes, Ali Wong. I almost said Amy Wong. That's not right. But yeah, so... Steven Yeun's still doing a fantastic job. Sandra Oh, who a lot of you may know from Grey's Anatomy. She was also in the BBC America spy thriller series Killing Eve, main character in that. She's played herself, I believe, in like The Simpsons, and she's been in a bunch of other projects. But she voices Debbie. Mark's mother and Nolan's wife. Fantastic job this season, especially considering, you know, what the events that happened at the end of the first season. And Nolan, aka Omni-Man, voiced by J.K. Simmons, the legendary J.K. Simmons, who, if you don't know, if you don't know J.K. Simmons, he's been in a bunch of stuff. He's played himself, I believe, in The Simpsons. He had a small part in Justice League. He played Commissioner Gordon. In that, he played, I want to say it was, Tenzin. Yeah. In The Legend of Korra. He was Ford in Gravity Falls. He was the asshole music teacher in Whiplash. I forgot his character's name, but it's been a while since I've seen the movie, but he was great in that movie. He was J. Jonah Jameson in the Sam Raimi's Spider-Man trilogy. A role that he also continued to play in No Way Home. He made an appearance in No Way Home and also in the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Or not Into, but Across the Spider-Verse, which came out this year. So yeah, and he's been in a bunch more stuff. And he's also the Farmers Insurance professor in the Farmers Insurance commercials. So guy's been in a bunch of stuff. Not only is he a great actor, but he's a great voice actor. And what he does this season is fantastic as always. And also all the recurring cast are all great too. Walton Goggins, who plays Cecil Stedman, the head of the government defense agency. Great job. Jillian Jacobs voices Eve, Adam Eve. Fantastic. Zazie Beetz as Mark's girlfriend, Amber. She was great. Everyone who voices all the Guardians of the Globe were great. Ralph Marquand, who was the immortal, and he also voices a robot. And Zachary Quinto voiced Robot, and Ralph Marquand also voices Rudy, the robot's human self, his human version. Jason Mantzoukas voices Rexplode, and well, if I went over everyone, it'd take forever. But Gray Griffin as Amanda, and Kevin Michael Richardson as the Mahler twins and Monster Girl. You know, everyone does a fantastic job, and everyone who I'm not mentioning by name, I may get into later. But yeah, they're fantastic. So, you know, season one pretty much dealt with it was at the end of that first episode. The first episode was pretty much, oh yeah, this seems like a typical, it's nice, but it seems like a typical just animated superhero show. And then when we got to that post-credit scene with Omni-Man murdering his team and the Guardians in the Globe, it switched, it flipped. It did a 180 very quickly. You know, it just, the entire script was flipped, and it's like, okay, what the hell just happened? And especially for me, as a person who hadn't read the comic book series, I was just, my jaw was dropped. I was just staring at my, I was watching it on my laptop. I was just staring at my laptop like a dumbass, like, what the hell was just happened? You know, what the hell was that? You know? And I was like, okay, well, I got to watch the next two now. And, you know, they did what they usually do, Amazon does with their shows, yeah, where they dropped the first three episodes, on the premiere date, and then the remaining five episodes aired weekly. And so, you know, when I caught up, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm watching this weekly. And, you know, the whole season was, you know, us trying to figure out the mystery of, like, why Omni-Man murdered his team, and Mark, you know, slowly throughout the course of the season, having to save a city from, villains and threats to, the evil of, overpowered supervillains, and, you know, having to team up with the Guardians of the Globe, the new Guardians of the Globe, because Cecil's like, okay, well, we have to, bring in a new crop of heroes. So the teen team gets brought in to be the new Guardians, and he's, you know, helping them. He befriends Eve, and, whose superhero name is Atom Eve, and she can, you know, basically take the atoms and molecules of anything that besides any living thing. She can take the molecules and atoms of any non-living thing and, like, rearrange them and change it into a completely different thing. Like, she could take a pencil and turn it into a sandwich or something like that, you know, which is crazy, you know, she's insanely powerful, and her power is cool, and her suit's cool, you know, she got this cool tight pink onesie, has like a cape and boots, and like she's got like the molecule symbol and like the symbol for the female gender, like on the chest of the costume. Like it looks really cool. And, she's badass. She's great. And yeah, all the characters are great, but yeah, so that was season one. And then obviously everything came to a head in the last two episodes when Nolan decided to tell Mark, hey, my people, the Viltrumites, we weren't peacekeepers. We didn't really, help lesser developed worlds. I mean, we helped them, but we didn't quite help them. See, what happened was, if they didn't comply with us helping them, we killed them and took over anyway. So they basically were world conquerors, from, you know, humanoid-looking alien world conquerors from this planet that murdered their own kind in this great big purge. And and he's like, yeah, so I was basically going to wait until you and your mom died to take over Earth. But when you got your powers, I decided, oh, okay, I better go ahead and murder my team, and because I can't have anything standing in my way when I take over. So he murdered the Guardians of the Globe, and was, you know, because he didn't want anyone to get in the way of the coming invasion. And of course, Mark and him have a fight. It ends. It really, Mark doesn't win. He's almost about to die, and then Nolan has a change of heart and comes to the conclusion, he realizes, I can't kill my kid, and then he just dips, he just leaves, after he's beaten him to a pulp on the side of a mountain, and, you know, that's where we end. And then we get a montage of like, you know, a bunch of different heroes and villains, you know, a bunch of characters from the first season, and seeing what they're up to. It's like a montage of like, you know, what's to come kind of in season two. And you know, this season has, you know, they've done a lot like what they did in season one. When I read the comic and then reflected back on what they did in season one, I'm like, oh, they did a great job at like packing so much of the story into this first season, and like the meat of the story, like what mattered the most. Not saying that anything was like filler or that it was unimportant, but like the stuff with, you know, Omni-Man revealing his true identity, like his true nature, and killing the Guardians, that happened way earlier in the first season of the show than it did in the comic. Because we get a little, maybe you could say maybe filler, quote unquote, but we get a little bit of that. You know, we get a little bit more of that in the comic until we get to the part where the Guardians are killed. And we get a little bit more of the Guardians in the comic. Yeah, we get a little bit more of them in the comic than we do in the show, because like I said, they die at the beginning of the first episode in the first season. And but it was cool to see how much they jam-packed into season one. And that's something I gotta give credit to the, you know, Robert Kirkman and all the writers and everyone who worked on this season, is that they crammed even more. So far, they've crammed even more in just this first half of this second season. They've crammed so much into this first half of the second season that it's insane. Like, I was like, oh yeah, you guys are doing packing way more into this than you did even in season one. And it doesn't feel like stuffed. It doesn't feel too much. Everything feels like it's gonna pay off at some point. It doesn't feel like they're doing too much all at once, you know, like they're putting all their eggs in one basket. It feels like the pacing, it's paced really well, it's flowing really well, and I'm curious to see how all of this is going to play out, because, you know, it's yeah, I'm trying to figure out where to start. But basically, Mark, we get to see Mark's graduation, him and his girlfriend Amber, who has definitely mellowed out since last season. In fact, that's what a lot of people were worried about with this season, was that Amber was going to be a bitch. Like, a lot of people were like, man, Amber was a bitch last season, fuck Amber, you know. And they were all like pissed at her, because, and I get why. I mean, I was kind of pissed at her too. I'm like, because basically what happened is she was upset at Mark last season when they were dating for disappearing on her when you know they had a date planned, or they were going to do something, and she didn't know it. You know, at first we thought she didn't know that Mark was invincible, that, you know, he was a superhero. But then in the finale, when he goes to, or maybe it was either the seventh episode or the eighth episode, but it was in the last episode or two, he reveals to her that he's invincible, and she's like, oh no, I know Mark. And I was like, well, if you knew, why were you giving him such a hard time? Like, why, you know, like, it was just mind-boggling that like she was that much of an asshole to Mark. It's like, you could have like eased up on him. Like, he was out saving people from dying, and protecting the city and the world from evil, dangerous supervillains. It's like, you could have like, you know, I mean, I don't know. But, you know, it's just like, yeah, you could have like eased up on the Mark, on the anger towards Mark, you know, like he was doing humanity a favor by saving them, you know, like he was helping out. And then you're like, oh yeah, I knew the whole time. Like, it's just, you know, and I was pissed at her too. But, you know, I feel like some people went a little too far with their hate. But one thing I love about this season so far is that they've definitely mellowed Amber out a lot. She definitely is not as what no, actually, that's pretty much gone. Like, she has definitely become way more supportive and understanding and accepting of Mark's whole superhero situation. And she embraces it in a way, you know, like she's like totally cool with it. And I'm like, okay, good. That's so, you know, I like you, and you and Mark are good together now. I mean, I like the two of you a little bit more now. You have been not quite as tainted, you know, in my view of your character, like you were at the end of last season. I do like Mark and Amber. They're a cute couple, but I do hope, because in the comics, spoilers for the comics if you haven't read them, they break up and Mark and Eve start dating, and I love their relationship too. So I don't know if that'll be this season. I do hope we get that at some point, though. I feel like we will, because that's a big part. Like, Mark and Eve are together longer than Mark and Amber in the comics. So I feel like at some point, if it's not this season, definitely next season, we'll get Mark and Eve together. But and hopefully it's amicable. Like, hopefully there's no ill will towards either Mark or Amber. You know, I mean, I hope, like, it doesn't make the friendship... hopefully it doesn't throw off the friendship dynamic, you know, between the four of them. Between Mark, Eve, Amber, and William. But who knows? But, you know, so, yeah, they're cute together. And, you know, basically, Mark, we see their graduation, and we get to, you know, like, we do a little montage, you know, we skip over the summer. You know, everyone's kind of having a good summer. We get to see them in college. Eve is still kind of, you know, her dad's still a dick, saying, like, oh, yeah, your powers don't make you better than us, or your powers don't make you a hero, they make you dangerous. And Eve's just trying to help out, and her dad is, like, still being an asshole about her being a superhero. Her mom's somewhat being more she's definitely being more understanding, but her dad is an asshole to her in regards to that. And she, you know, Eve is trying to... You know, since she's not really a member of the Guardians of the Globe anymore, she's trying to still be a superhero and help just on her own terms. Debbie is dealing with, you know, the aftermath of Nolan's betrayal, you know, and the fact that they spent 20 years of their lives together and raised a child and, you know, all of that for Nolan to call her a pet. which I was like, Jesus Christ, when he said that in the finale. When he told Mark, he's like, I do love your mother, but she's more like a pet to me. And then Mark's like, a pet? Like, he's like, bitch, what the hell did you just say? You know, and unfortunately, Debbie was back at the GDA with Cecil, and she overheard everything, the whole conversation, So she overheard her husband of 20 years. Well, I don't know if they quite got married at the beginning, but her husband, partner, you know, of 20 years, calling her a pet, you know, like, that's how insignificant, you know, she was to him. And it's like, that's fucked up. That's, you know, that's messed up. But yeah, so Debbie's dealing with that. She, you know, tries to join a support group. She ends up, kind of just in a little bit of a slump, a little bit of a depression. And, you know, the first half of this ends with her deciding that to not take Cecil's money. Like, you know, he had been like paying for he had been like helping Mark and her out for, you know, ever since Nolan left, he had been like kind of giving them money to help them through the first few months that Nolan had left. And Debbie decides, you know what, I'm good. I don't need, because Nolan had written some books, and, you know, he was still getting like royalty checks from the books. So, you know, Cecil was giving Debbie the money from that. And she's like, you know what, I don't need this constant reminder of Nolan anymore. I'm still a real estate agent. I'm just going to get the money my way from my job. Just focus on the people who got, you know, focus on the victims of the Chicago massacre that Nolan caused at the end of last season. Give the money to the victims of Chicago, you know. And and, you know, she you know, her little arc with, you know, having to adjust to Mark going to college and, you know, dealing with Nolan's betrayal was great. Yeah, there's just a bunch Anstrom Levy, who he was a big part he was a big villain in the comic book. So when he showed up in the first episode, and he was in the trailer too, but, you know, especially, but when he showed up in the first episode, I'm like, yes. Cause he's basically this genius scientist who this version, basically there's a multiverse. Like most superhero shows and movies, there is a multiverse in the world of Invincible. And this version of Anstrom Levy basically has the ability to access every universe in the known multiverse. So he can open up a portal, you know, with like the flick of his wrist, you know, or the snap of his finger, or just thinking of it, he can just open a portal to another universe and walk through. And he basically gets the Mahler twins, voiced perfectly by Kevin Michael Richardson, the Mahler twins, who are basically like these blue giant superpowered humanoid villains, and basically they're called the Mahler twins, but one of them is the original and the other one's a clone. And there's a funny running joke throughout, you know, this season and a half, you know, since the show premiered, of them both going like, oh no, I'm the original, no, you're the clone, I'm the original, you know. It's funny banter back and forth between them over who's the original and who's the clone. But Angstrom basically, you know, he says, oh, I'm gonna give you guys your own dimension, your own universe, if you help me with my mission. And his mission was basically he needed the Mahler twins' help in building this machine that could, because he's like gathered thousands or hundreds and thousands or thousands, several of his counterparts from other universes to the main universe. And he's going to, basically he's got like, I think like 9 other machines and 9 other sets of Mahler twins that he convinced to help him. And he's going to connect all of these machines to each other. And basically, once everyone's like hooked up to the machine, like all of his Angstrom counterparts are hooked up to the machine, he's going to like siphon the knowledge from their minds, so that way he can like perfect, he can make his universe the most perfect version it can be for everyone in that, on that version of Earth. And you know, at first it seems like a good idea, and you know, if you're watching the show for the first time, you don't really suspect that anything's going to happen. You know, obviously, you know, you're like, oh, well, they're the Mahler twins, nothing good can come from them. But you think that, oh, this guy does mean what he says. And he does to an extent, but it's not until Mark shows up in the first episode that things go to shit. Because Mark, and another plot point is Mark decides to work for Cecil, you know, for the GDA, and do more good to make up for, you know, what Omni-Man did last season. He's like, look, I know I can do more than just, you know, go to college and all that. I can just put me back out there and I'll do what you say. Just let me help people. And, you know, that's, you know, he ends up going there, and Cecil, you know, he's like, oh yeah, hey, we need your help over here. There's some strange activity in the warehouse over here near the docks. And so Mark goes and he sees what's going on, and he thinks that Angstrom is being like tortured or held captive, you know, by the Mahler twins. Cause like from the looks of it, it looks like they're using him for some nefarious purposes. So he beats the shit out of the Mahler twins. And it's here where the Mahler twins find out that Angstrom was using their help, cause they thought they were the only two that, he was, getting help from. But it turns out that like the other 9, universes where he had the other 9 versions of the Mahler twins build this same machine at, he had their help too. So like we see a bunch of other, he opens the portals to their dimensions or their universes, and has a bunch of Mahler twins come out and, you know, help the original Mahler twins beat the shit out of Mark. And Mark's almost a goner, and Angstrom's like, no, wait, I don't want you to kill him. I don't want my universe to be built on, you know, blood and death. And he's you know, hooked up to the machine. The twins told him specifically not to take the helmet off. He's wearing this helmet. He begins to take the helmet off. The machine malfunctions and it explodes, and everyone's pretty much dead except Mark. And, at first it's like everyone's dead except Mark. That's what we think. And then, you know, the, new team the Guardians come in, and they, find out, they're like, oh shit, you really are invincible. Like, you survived that huge ass explosion and that beating. That's crazy. And then the post credit scene of the episode, we see that, and again, if you've read the comic book, you would know, this happened, but you know, seeing it play out in animated form, in animation, was cool to see too. Cause it was like, seeing it again, you know, for the first time, especially because, like I said, it's been so long since I've read the comic. But at the end of the first episode, we see one of the Mueller twins survived, badly burned halfway down like the right side of his body. From head to toe on the right side of his body, he's just badly burned. And we see Anstrom Levy also survived. But he is also like this deformed version of himself. His entire body is almost, or at least half of his body is basically like a brain on the outside of his skin. And, you know, like he's just like in pain and like hunched over and he's just deformed. And his brain basically takes up half of his body in a way. And he's like, that son of a bitch, Mark, that, you know, that Invincible, I'm going to destroy him if it's the last thing I do. He caused this to happen to me. And really, and the Mueller twin, the one that survived, says it best. He's like, look, you've got all the memories and knowledge of the thousands of different versions of yourself, you know, like swirling around in your head. You're talking crazy. Like he even tries to calm him down. He's like, look, you're acting crazy. You're talking crazy. Just calm the hell down, you know. And he dips, he opens a portal and leaves the Mauler twin in the rubble of, you know, all the corpses of all the other Anstroms and Maulers that were there. And it's funny too, cause the Mauler twin's like, yeah, sure. Fine. Leave me in this mess. Like, you know, I'm half of me's burned, half of my body's burned and my other twin died. And you know, you destroyed all of our equipment, but sure, just leave me like this. Just leave me here. Okay, fine. Screw you, you know, like, and, you know, that sets up this season, like, you know, a new villain. It's like, oh, we got a new villain. And we see him, like, one more time, I believe. It's in the next episode where he's, like, interrogating a Mark from another universe who got defeated and whose father, you know, that version, that universe's version of Omni-Man was murdered. And you know, he's goading Mark for that Mark for information on how they killed his father, you know. And and it's cool to see, because like in the comic he basically gets a bunch of Marks, you know, he basically holds like Mark's mom Debbie and his younger brother he basically holds them hostage. And again, I forgot, well, you know, I don't want to go into too big of spoilers because I kind of forgot the minor details of it, but he does like come back in a big way. He holds his mother and younger brother hostage, and there's a whole little story where like he ends up Anstrom ends up trapping Mark in another dimension, and then he like calls upon these other, like, he's recruited, if I remember correctly, Anstrom ends up recruiting other Marks, other Invincibles from other universes to, you know, come over and help him beat the shit and kill that our version of Mark. And it's like, oh shit, like this, like he's a pretty formidable villain. And to see his story begin and play out, you know, this first half of the season has been great. And yeah, like there's still a lot that I haven't even talked about, like the Shapesmith, who voiced by Ben Schwartz, who, if you don't know, he played Jean Ralphio Saperstein in Parks and Rec. He's great in that show. But yeah, he is basically a Martian who took the form, so something happened in season one where there was this Mars mission that went horribly wrong. There were these little alien parasites called the Sequids that were taking over, and Mark and them had to stop it. They didn't really end up stopping it, but they managed to escape before any of the Sequids, you know, invaded them. But one of the Sequids did take over one of the astronauts, and one of the Martians that was on Mars ended up taking his place. They didn't realize that they left him behind, because one of the Martians, you know, in order to survive, he took the place of one of the astronauts and jumped on the ship before they escaped. So, you know, we follow his story, and, you know, since he's like living in that astronaut's apartment, we see like his landlord come by, and he's like, hey, look, if you don't pay the rent, we're going to have to kick you out soon. You know, I know you went through a lot on your mission to Mars, but you got to do something to pay, you know, cause I'm going to have to kick you out otherwise. And then he sees on the news, he sees a, you know, they're talking about Martian Man, you know, who was one of the members of the Guardians of the Globe that Nolan murdered, you know, not to, you know, in season one. And so he sees that and he's like, oh yeah, I am Martian. I could just turn into a superhero. I could like shapeshift and turn into a superhero, and like join the Guardians. You know, I can like be kind of like Martian Man's replacement, except he doesn't go as, you know, Martian Man, because that would be suspicious. So he shows up to the Guardians, and he's like, Rex is like, who the hell are you? And he's like, they call me, I'm called the Shapesmith. And he, you know, he's basically like, because he's a Martian, he doesn't quite understand the ways of humanity and like our customs and traditions and like just everyday, the way we go about everyday life and like some of the, you know, like sarcasm, and, you know, just little human things like sarcasm and, you know, just how we talk and interact with each other. So there's some funny jokes and scenes where he's like trying to mingle with the Guardians and it doesn't, you know, he just comes across as awkward, and it's funny. But yeah. And then what else happens? There's so much that I'm probably forgetting some things, but everyone. Oh, and then there's a subplot where Donald, because he died in season one, he died in trying to stop Omni-Man, Nolan, he blew up the house across the street where they were surveilling. Basically they were keeping an eye on Nolan and spying on him from the street, from the house across the street where Mark, Nolan, and Debbie lived. And he finds this out. He flies over there and kills everyone in the house, all the GDA agents that were keeping him that were watching over him, or, you know, watching him on the surveillance tapes. And he kills Donald. He grabs his spine, you know, like crushing his spine, you know, digs his fingers into his back. And Donald blows up the house in an effort to, of course, it doesn't do shit because, you know, as a Viltrumite, Omni-Man's nearly indestructible. But the explosion doesn't do shit, but it does buy him a little bit of time, you know, before they find out. It does buy Cecil some time to slow down Nolan before he gets to Mark, you know. And so it's like Donald finds out that slowly over the course of these four episodes, finds out that he isn't the original Donald, or that he's maybe a robot. And it's not even quite made so clear at the end of this episode four. But what we do know is that it's not quite our original Donald. Something's up, you know, like, because he cuts himself to see if he's human. And like in that episode four, and he sees that he's bleeding, and he's like, okay, well, I guess I'm human. I may be a clone, I'm not sure, but I know that I am human. But then he looks at the knife and it's like bent. And so that led me to think that, okay, maybe he's like a robot. Maybe he has like a robotic, like a metal endoskeleton. And, you know, when they downloaded Donald's memories into the brain of this robot, and then like they built like a synthetic flesh and like gave him fake blood and, you know, synthetic flesh to make Donald and like anyone who, you know, ran into Donald, that less suspicious of him being a robot. You know, it's like, oh yeah, Donald's fine, you know? So I'm curious to see how that plays out, because, there is like a Donald robot subplot, if I remember correctly, in the comics. And it's interesting to see how that played out there. But yeah, so the, episode three, we see Mark, go with a Thraxan, which is basically like this bug-like alien creature. They kind of look like praying mantises, but he basically shows up to Mark's college as like Mark's favorite comic book hero seance dog, and then he drops the act and he's like, okay, look, I'm actually here because our planet is in danger. The Thraxan planet is in danger. There's this horrible meteor shower that's like wiping out everyone, and we need your help. And Mark decides to go. And then at the end of the episode, we find out that, and again, this was in the comics too, we find out that the leader of the Thraxans is Nolan. So, you know, for a good few months, you know, like several months, 3 or 4 months maybe, you know, for a little while, he's been the ruler of this planet. And then the next episode, We get a crazy cliffhanger, and it's basically we have the Viltrumites showing up to Thraxa, and well, before they show up, Mark finds out that not only did Nolan marry one of the Thraxans named Andressa, but he also had a kid with them. So Mark now has a half brother, who in the comics they name Oliver. And when they got to that point, when Oliver showed up, I'm like, oh shit, there's Oliver. Like it was just cool to see again, like see this play out in the show when I kind of knew the major bullet points of like what happened in the comics. And the Viltrumites end up showing up. They end up having tracked Nolan to Thraxa, and they murder most of the people there. Andressa and Oliver, well, we don't see what happens to them, but they go in like these secret caves that Nolan has, like, or that they kind of have set up in case like war and violence, in times of like war and violence and distress, like they go to the caves to like hide out, like the women and children kind of go to hide out, and I guess like people who, just the regular civilians who aren't soldiers. But we three very powerful, very pissed off Viltrumites show up and beat the shit out of Nolan and Mark. And they think they've won. They've killed two of them, but the one of them that Nolan thought he killed comes back and like knees him very hard in the back, like breaks his back. And it's right when Nolan they're caught off guard because Mark got stabbed in the gut, and his face is all beaten up, and Nolan's like, son, you okay? It's all right. We'll get you. I'll help you. Heal. Let's go find Andressa and my son. And there's a whole Thraxan custom where when the baby is of age, they name themselves. So currently, Oliver doesn't have his name. He's not Oliver right now. But he shows up. But the Viltrumite that Nolan thought he murdered. Surprise sneak attacks him, knees him in the back, breaks his back, and they basically have the ship that they came in come down and take Nolan. And then Craig, like a Viltrumite, he's like a Viltrumite general, like a high-ranking Viltrumite general. He, as they're teleporting Nolan away, no Nolan delivers one final, like some final words to Mark. He's like, hey, look through my books. They'll tell you what to do. Well, it's not exactly that, but he's paraphrasing. But he's like, look in my books when you get back to Earth. And I remember, I'm like, oh yeah, because in the comics, basically, Nolan hid like a secret, some secret messages in his books. Like he was an author, on Earth. Like in his 20 years, he had written some successful books, but with hidden within the books, like within the text of the books, were weapons that were known to harm and kill Viltrumites that were like scattered across the universe, like weapons powerful enough to kill Viltrumites. And I was like, oh yeah, because that becomes a major part of the story later too. And so they take away Nolan. Craig shows up before they leave. Craig comes down, floats down to where Mark's just lying on the ground, beaten to a pulp, and he tells him, look, you are going to your father's going to die. You are going to, since you are, half Viltrumite, and almost all Viltrumite in all but name in all but name, you are pretty much half Viltrumite. You're almost as powerful as your father. You're going to take over his mission to take over Earth. And if we come, you'll have some time. We'll show back up soon to Earth. But if we get there, by the time we get there, if you haven't conquered Earth, we're going to conquer it and kill you. And then he floats back up to the ship. He flies back up to the ship. They take off, and it ends with just Mark lying there, beaten up, like, just bleeding out. And I was like, oh shit, that was a great cliffhanger to end on. And we end with there's some things that I still didn't even mention, but yeah, Donald finds out that he's not the original Donald. The original Mahler twin that got burned badly by Ahnstrom, he ends up cloning himself, and then we see at the end of the fourth episode that the clone poisons his lemonade and kills the original one, which happened in the, I remember that happened in the comic. We don't see the Guardians. We didn't see them that episode. We do see Eve, but we don't see like Rex or Duplicate or Immortal. And then, oh, and also in episode 3, we get to see Alan. He goes to the Coalition of Planets and tells Thetis that, who was also a Viltrumite, although at this point in the story, if you haven't read the comics, you don't know that yet. But he was a former Viltrumite who turned against his people and formed the Coalition of Planets, who are basically just, you know, well, as the name suggests, a coalition of planets dedicated to finding a way to wipe out the Viltrumites and their threat and the Viltrumite scourge across the galaxy and the universe. Basically stop them at all costs. And, you know, we get to see, you know, for about, that's about the subplot or one of the subplots in episode 3. So we get to see Alan again, voiced by Seth Rogen, who does a fantastic job as well. And yeah, I loved seeing that too. And also they got Peter Cullen, you know, and I haven't even gone into all the people that were brought in, but well, not only all the people that were in season 1 that, you know, are returning for season 2, but all the new actors and voice actors they have voicing characters in this season. But one of them, was Peter Cullen, and he voices, Thetis. And I was like, oh yeah, it's such a great, because when I read the comic, I imagined Thetis having this big booming voice because he just seemed like such a grand, important, you know, loud-spoken leader. I mean, you know, he seemed like grand and epic and, you know, important and like, to, you know, had, it sounded like he had a big booming voice, you know, from the way he looked in the comics. And, you know, he does have this kind of big booming voice that only Peter Cullen, Optimus Prime himself, can provide. And yeah, but again, there's stuff that I haven't even really, there's so many subplots that happened in this first, these first four episodes alone that I'm sure I missed some of them. That's how jam packed this, first half of this season has been. But, I thought the first half of the season has been great. I loved seeing it. Well, yeah, I guess I'll just wrap up my thoughts by saying that, yeah, this first half of the season has been great. It's been as great, if not maybe better than the first or than the first season. The animation has improved. It's gotten, not that it was like choppy in season 1, but like it's gotten even more, it's gotten even smoother and more fluid. The character motions are a little bit more, they're a little bit more animated, you know. The action scenes, the animations, you know, is where it really pops off there, is in the action scenes. We get to see, so that's great. The voice acting from everyone is stellar, like I said. And like with season 1, it's, especially after having read the comic book, I'll say this one more time. It's insane to see how much they've jam-packed in these first four episodes, this first half of the season alone, from what's happened in the comics. Like, everything that, you know, so far that's happened in the show, even if I don't quite remember how it played out in the comic, when it showed up, like, all these subplots that are going on, I'm like, when they first began, I was like, oh yeah, I remember the Shapesmith, you know, I remember sort of some of what happens with that, or I remember that happening. And I, you know what, I remember Aenstrom Levy showing up, I remember the Coalition of Planets, I remember Mark's half-brother Oliver, and even if I don't quite remember, because again, the comic book is long, there's a lot that happens in it, even if I don't quite remember everything that's happening currently in this season, even if I don't remember how it all played out in the comics, I like that because it's also in a way kind of like watching the show for the first time. I mean, like, you know, it's like watching it again with fresh eyes in a way, because it's been so long since I've seen it that I've forgotten like a bunch of the minute smaller details. So it's cool to kind of watch it with a newer, fresher perspective in a way. And it's like, oh yeah, how did this play out? It's like, you know, when a certain plot point popped up, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this, but how did it play out? And some plot points, I'm like, oh, I remember how this played out, but how did we get to the end of that plot point, you know? Like, how did we get, you know, what happened in between, you know, the Shapesmith showing up and, you know, the end of his story, you know? And it's great. I love that. And yeah, I just, on the one hand, it sucks that, we have to wait until next year for the second half of the season. But I did think that was a great episode and a great cliffhanger to end with, while we all eagerly await the second half of the season. I'm sure it'll be sometime early 2024. Like, I feel like February or March at the earliest, or at the latest. I mean, I don't think they'd make us wait a whole another year. I don't think it'll be, I believe they said early 2024. So, but yeah, I can't wait to see that. It's going to be great. And I'm definitely going to review the second half of the season when it finishes, airing at, in the season two finale. I'll, be reviewing the second half too. And I may do, you know, a quick recap of like what's happened this season so far, you know, like what happened in this first half. But yeah, so if you haven't seen the show, go watch it. It's on Amazon Prime. I don't think it's available to buy on iTunes, but if you have Amazon Prime, Prime Video, you know, watch it. You know, watch season one, first half of season two. It's great. Also, and watch the Invincible Adam Eve special, because it might not be necessary, but if you liked season one, it'll be a nice, jump into the world of Invincible from the point of view of a different character, because we're pretty much following Eve and a younger Eve. Like, we're following like a young teenage Eve, like 12, 13-year-old at the latest, version of Eve, not the 17, 18-year-old that we see in the show, you know. And we do, and it's funny, we do get a glimpse of Mark, what Mark was doing at the time, during what was going on with Eve. So, like, when he was like 12, 13, we get like a post-credit scene of him, Debbie, and Nolan, at their home, kind of what they were up to at the time of Eve's adventure, you know, like Eve's, you know, tapping into her powers, what she was doing. And that was cool. But yeah, that's great. The animation on that's great. Voice acting's fantastic. So it's not, I guess it's maybe not necessary, like essential viewing, but if you loved season one, I feel like you would be doing yourself a disservice by not watching that, because it's, you know, again, like the same length as the regular episodes. You know, it's like, you know, it's like 45 minutes too, and it's a great little backstory for Eve, and you know, get to know more about, you know, what might be one of your favorite characters. You know, I don't really see anyone, I don't see how anyone could dislike Eve. I mean, she's just cool and she's nice and she's a great character. But I'm sure there are some people who don't like her, but I don't know of anyone who doesn't seem to like Eve. But yeah, so if you haven't seen the show, go watch it. Go watch the Adam Eve special, and I have a feeling you'll like it. And if you've watched it, well, I hope you've enjoyed this first half of the season, because I know I have, and I definitely can't wait to watch the second half of the season when it premieres sometime next year. And again, hopefully that'll be soon, because as of right now, the release date is just, it just says 2024. So, but yeah, so I guess that does it for tonight's episode. I may be reviewing Scott Pilgrim versus the World tomorrow, or maybe sometime Monday or Tuesday. I may do a review of that, because I bought that movie and I've heard good things about the, I've heard good things about that movie, but especially with the animated Netflix series, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, having premiered like a week or a week and a half ago, you know, it's made me want to watch the movie even more. And I've heard good things about the movie. So expect that review sometime, if not tomorrow, then maybe Monday or Tuesday. But yeah, so I guess that does it for tonight's episode. I hope you all have a great weekend, unless I see you tomorrow. But if I don't, you know, have a great weekend, and I will see you all for the next episode, which hopefully will be my review of Scott Pilgrim versus the World. With that being said, oh, also hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving and a great Black Friday. That's also the reason why I didn't post this episode yesterday, was because I was Christmas shopping yesterday because it was Black Friday, and I just felt like I'll just, and I didn't watch the episode yet. I just watched it today, the mid-season finale, so I figured I'll just wait and, you know, record the review and post it tomorrow. So, but that's why I didn't post it yesterday. But yeah, I hope you, everyone had a great Thanksgiving, great Black Friday, and hope you all have a great weekend until I see you for the next episode. And until then, take care.